How's everybody doing? Very good, very good. Welcome, everybody watching online. God bless y'all. Three quick things. We're going to have some gang members here next week. Bring some friends. Amen. Number two, East County launch. Go out to East County if y'all are from East County. We started construction already, but I wanted to just encourage you to go out there. And number three, if you are from another church or you're watching online, you're from another church, we are having our first Do Something Church Summit. Do Something means that we are going out in the community and serving the community. As you know, we did a quarter of a million hours of volunteer service last year, worth $4 million. We actually did that the last 2 years. So we're teaching churches how to mobilize their people to go start ministries in the community. So we're having a conference this Thursday night, Friday. And if you know any churches that want to come, have them just contact the church, go on our website. Go on our Do Something Church website and get some information. We'd love to have you out. Amen? Y'all excited tonight? Yeah. Very good, very good. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your Bible. Say, word. Yeah. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. And by the way, while we turn there, how many of y'all are under 25 years old? Raise your hand, under 25. Very good, very good. Very good. How many of y'all over 25? Ah, the old people got you. The old people. Let's try that one more time. How many are under 25? Over 25. How about under 30? Over 30. Old people. They had Geritol today. Geritol feeling a little strong. Okay, one more time. Under 35. Yeah! Over 35. Yeah! Okay, that's about where we're at right there. That's the kind of cutoff. That's about even. Okay. Over 65. Whoa, hey. Well, who's that? Just kind of screaming out in church. Who said that? Oh, how you doing? How you're over 65?
Yes, sir.
How old are you?
I'm 65. I'll be 66 in April.
Very good. Very good. I'm sorry. Say it again.
I bring 10 boys and girls from the Navy rehab every Sunday.
Great. How y'all doing? What's up? I'm glad y'all come. God bless y'all. God bless you. Thank you for serving in the Navy as well. God bless you. Anybody else here older than 65? Yes, how old are you? 67. Hey, can you do me a favor? Can you stand up and show people that 67 is a new 57? Look at that guy. Anybody over 67? Where? How old are you? Get out of here. You ain't 7. Stand up. Stand up. Look at this brother rocking a beanie. 70? You're 70? You lying. You can't lie in church. It's Sunday. Are you 70 for real? Huh? Turn around. They want to see you. Wow. Anybody over 70? How old? 75? 85? 85 years old. Wow. What is your name? God bless you, 85. God bless you. Anybody over 85? 85. Oh, someone's over 85? How old? 86. I can't see. Is it a man or a woman? Man. It's a man. 86. Can you ask them why they come to the late service? We just woke up. Oh, he's here with his granddaughter. Wow, how old is his granddaughter? 27. Wow. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Is anybody over 86? You, how old are you? He's six. He forgot the 80 part. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for old people being at church with the young people. You're 100? Lord, we pray for that little rascal right there. Lord, just thank you for today and pray you encourage us. I pray you challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. Tuesday passed, I went to Florida to go to a conference of NFL players and wives and girlfriends where I went when I was playing 29 years ago. Now I go there to speak. It was about 118 NFL players, blah, 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 blah. I left there Friday and went to Georgia to speak at a men's conference at a church, about 1,000 men. And I grew up in New York, so the South, to me, growing up in New York, was a place that was scary because of all the racial stuff that I grew up with. So I don't fear it now, but it's still very fresh in my mind that stuff is different down there than where in New York and California. So I don't go to them parts often. I don't not go because of that. I just don't get invited. But I went down there, so I'm dry. That's why I don't go. But so I'm driving. My travel partner and I, we flew into Atlanta and drove an hour and a half. We didn't even know where we were going. It was just out in the middle of nowhere for an hour and a half in Georgia. So we're joking about, hey, man, we hope this is real. And, like, you know, where are we going? We don't know where we're going. And when I got to the church, I was telling the pastor and all them all this as well. I said, you know, we don't come down these parts that many often. They were just joking about being rednecks. This guy said, this one of the pastors says, Miles don't know how opposite we are because I'm a redneck. I got two guns on me right now. We had a great time. About 100 guys came forward. It was phenomenal. But they were auctioning off stuff like pickup trucks and guns. Rifles in boxes they had. And they were rifle. You can't do that in San Diego. Can you imagine our raffling off rifles? You walk out here, ka, ka, yeah, what's up? I said, and I was joking with them about all this, like, y'all are country. And I was, you know, we just went through that whole thing, and it was fun. And they were phenomenal. It was very gracious, and we had a great time. But 15, 20 years ago, I was in South Carolina, same type of deal, where I was like, you know, South Carolina, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm driving, I don't know nothing about North Carolina, what's down here. And by the way, where I went in South Carolina, people were great. But after I spoke at this thing in North Carolina, I went to a barbecue place. They said, we want you to come to one of our members. They own a barbecue place. Now, when I think of barbecue, I think of like Phil's, you know, what we use as a red sauce to go on, stuff that we, chicken and ribs, etc. Their barbecue was different. It was chopped pork in some vinegar stuff. Does anybody know that kind of? Yeah, what is that called? I know it's called barbecue, but what is it? It's what? It's pork, right? Pulled pork? Oh, pulled. Pulled pork. So you take a pig and you just pull the stuff out and shred it. So and then what's it in? It's like a vinegar stuff, right? What is it? Vinegar, but it's clear. It's not red like what we eat, right? It's watered down. Okay. Now, nothing against that. It was nasty. Now, I know it wasn't nasty to y'all because y'all used to it, and I'm not a food kind of taste guy, so it really don't mean anything because I only like five things. I don't eat a whole bunch of different things. So we're sitting there, and really, whether it was nasty or good to me is really irrelevant, but I'm sitting there talking to this lady, and she says to me, you know, it was in the very recent past that her church did not allow black people in it. So I'm thinking, why are you telling me this? then I really didn't eat the food. Something in the food. She was very nice and whatever. But I want to talk today about discrimination in the church. Now, it's not discrimination black against white. It's that all of us have many types of people that are not like us, that we may be disinclined to voluntarily reach out to them because they are not like us, or we have nothing in common, or we are fearful of those kind. Whatever that kind is, you could be a brother in the hood and you don't really associate with white dudes in suits, or vice versa. And so it's not necessarily white to black, it's everybody to everybody. And the reason I want to talk about it today was, one, because I want to, but two, it's in the Bible. Okay, the story we're going to read in the book of Acts is a story about a man named Cornelius and a man named Peter. Now, in the first century church, the church was mostly Jewish people who accepted Christ. But the Jewish people were so used to being separated from everybody else, they discriminated against everybody else. So they were holding Christ to themselves. And Jesus is going to use this story to show the Jewish church that was Christian now that, no, the gospel is for everybody. Now, why is this important and relevant to us today? You may say, well, this ain't the South, and we don't have racism, whatever, whatever. Well, one, we do have racism, but it's not the South. But it's not about race. It's just about us. It's classism. It's me-ism. It's zip code-ism. And what I mean by that is that you have your circle of friends that you may be so used to being around, comfortable with, and these kinds of people are just different than you. They're not worse, better necessarily. They're just different. In your mind, some might be worse, some might be better, some might be rich, so you don't feel like rich people because they got more money than you or whatever. Well, it doesn't really matter the reason, but these kinds of people you don't really associate with. And it may not even be a malicious thing. You just don't associate with it, because what's important for you to know that, because God may say, go talk to them, and you're like, well, I don't usually do that. Whether it's malicious or not, and then you don't. And you just miss an opportunity. Versus saying, no, God wants you to be open to talk to anybody. Now, as a side note to all of this, even though it's very related, it is politically correct in our culture to say, I don't see color. How many of you have heard that before? Okay? Now, I want to encourage you as what our culture would call a colored person to not say that and don't even believe it, because it's not true. Like when someone comes to me and says, I don't say color, I can say, why are you saying that now? Why do you feel the need to tell me that? Because if you don't see color, you don't see my difference in color in you, so you have no need to say you don't see it because you don't see it. So if it's not there, you don't see it, then there's no reason to say you don't see it because it's not there. So, but obviously you're saying it because you see it and you feel uncomfortable with what you see, so you want to convince yourself there's nothing to be scared of. Are y'all following me? Don't say it because you sound stupid to people who are colored. You do. It's like when people get a tan, okay? How many of y'all ever got a tan before? Okay, keep your hand up for just 1 minute. You got a tan, and you got a tan because you wanted people to see it. Amen? You got a tan because you wanted people to see your color. But yet you may be that very person that says, I don't see color. Yet you change your color so people can see your color. God made color. God made all the different ethnicities of the world. God made hair type. He made eye shape, lip shape. All those characteristics that we had, God made it. Why? Because he's creative. And it all brings him glory. And who are we to say we're going to ignore it? How arrogant for us to do that. It is the devil playing a mind game with you. Everybody's the same. Everybody is not the same. Matter of fact, nobody's the same. Nobody's talented the same. No one looks the same. No one has the same talent. Yet we want everybody to be the same, because when God made variety, the devil says, no, I'm going to wipe God's creativity away and make everybody the same. Don't say you don't see color, because when you say that to people who are colored, they in their mind go, man, that's so stupid. And then they're saying, they may not say these words, but they're offended by it to some degree. Then they may say this, you know what? Well, if you don't see my color, what do I look like then? Do I look like you? So now you made me white. So you offended me twice. You not only see what I really look like, and you don't appreciate what God did, you're making me to be like you because you think what you are is better than me. Don't say it. Don't be politically correct. Be biblically correct. Now, if what you mean is I treat everybody the same, well, say that then. You know, I see that you're different than me. Matter of fact, I want to know about your culture. People are fascinating, and people have different life experience. You should want to know about that and learn from that and appreciate it, because if you don't, you think yours is superior and the only one important. So appreciate it and appreciate God. Man, if you ever get out of go to another country, it's fascinating how people live and how people think and what people experience. Go to TJ. Go to TJ and do two things. If you can have a translator so you can talk to somebody who speaks Spanish, but also go to TJ and come back over the border and appreciate the fact that you live here in a culture where you have more than they have, and not because they're worse. It's because the blessing of God has somehow came on us differently than there. And just thank God, because it has no fault of your own that you live here, because you didn't choose it. God put you here. And you were just born here. Or you came here from somewhere else. If you came here, immigrated like my family did 2-3 generations ago. But so don't say that. Okay, so in this story, here's what God's going to say. God's going to say, basically, Peter, there are people different than you, and I love them the same. So two challenges for you. For all of y'all who are Christian, I want you to be thinking about, okay, God, I am available to talk to anybody. I am. And for all of you who may be like, I don't know if God will forgive me. I don't know if God's going to accept me. I don't know if I can go to that church. I have to tell you emphatically, God loves you at the same as he loves me and everybody else in here. You saw the picture of Taz on the screen? Did they show you a picture of Taz with the tattoos? That's my man. He goes to church here. This is his church. And he sits right over there. And he's been going to his church for years. He belongs here just as much as anybody else. Now, people will look at him funny. Okay, that's your problem. That ain't his. That ain't his problem. And you'll meet him next week. He's a great guy. He has a heart this big. He has a heart this big. Okay, let's read the story. And by the way, if you ever see him out, go say hi to him. Bring your little kids up. Go say hi to him. Give him a big hug, because he's a big dude, so you got to get a big hug. Okay? Give him a big hug. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion. Say centurion. Who was known as the Italian cohort. A cohort was 1,000 men. Cornelius was over 100 of those 1,000. So there were 10 centurions for every 1,000 men or every cohort. The Bible says in verse 2, he was a devout man who feared God with all his household and gave alms generously to people, or donations to poor people, and prayed to God continually. Now, this guy is a godly guy. He prays, he gives money, he seeks God, but he doesn't know God. He is seeking God. And he is praying to God, and he's doing godly things, but he doesn't know God personally, but he wants to. There are a lot of people who seek God, and they want God, and they're really nice, but they don't know God. They need to know God. All of us in here know people who are not Christian, who are a whole lot more Christian than some Christians we know. In other words, we know people who don't know God, and they're really nice, they appear to be honest, they appear to be humble, more so than some people we know who walk with God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Unfortunately, nice ain't getting you to heaven. What does that mean? It doesn't discount who they are. It just means we really need to get God to them. Because if you know them, you go, oh, they're good, God's not going to send them to hell. Yes, he will. Because God doesn't see as man sees. God looks at the heart. We look at the outward. What we don't know about those people is the level of sin that hasn't been forgiven, which is none of it. And two, some people who are nice are really evil. They're sneaky evil. Some, we have the 85-year-old and 86. I'm sure they're sweet. Right, ma'am? How you doing? But there are some, and they'll tell you, older people, oh, hi, honey. But they're evil. They got knives at the end of their canes. And the reason I use that as an exaggeration is because they're just people. And nice ain't getting you to heaven. Some people are just born that way. They don't get credit for that. And so here's a guy who is a godly guy. He fears God with his whole house. He gives to people and prays to God all the time, but yet he doesn't have salvation yet. This is so important because some of you may think, oh, they're nice or I'm nice and I'm good. You're not. You need God. Now, if you seek, you will find. And God does love you. And if you say, well, I'm better than that Christian person who's a knucklehead, this is not a comparing thing. It's not about you being better than that person. It's about you having your sins forgiven. That's all it's about. So don't worry about comparing people. Don't worry about even figuring out who's saved or not. That's just way above your pay grade to understand. All you need to worry about is, did I give my life to Jesus? So let's keep reading. Look what it says in verse 3. It says, about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw a vision of an angel of God came to him and said, Cornelius, and he stared at him with terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with another man named Simon, a tanner. See, they got tans in the Bible too. And it says, his house is by the seaside. So he sees a vision, and God says to him, the angel says, go send your people to Peter, the same Peter who walked with Jesus, same Peter who walked on the water to Jesus, same Peter that Jesus washed his feet, his disciple, the same Peter who preached at Pentecost with 3,000 people got saved. Peter is the guy, Christianity. Number one guy, numero uno. He says, Cornelius, go send your men to get Peter, and he'll come to you and share with you the gospel so you can get saved. Okay? And look what he does. Verse 7. When the angel departed, Cornelius called two of his servants and a soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Peter. Now, culturally, Peter's over here. Culturally, Peter don't associate with Gentiles. Non-Jews. This guy was a Roman. He was a non-Jew. Peter, they don't deal with those people. They don't visit with those people. They don't have associations with those people. They don't do nothing with those people. It's the Jews. Okay? God tells Cornelius, go send for Peter. Now, Cornelius says, yes, sir. And he's a soldier. He understands orders. Ain't that something? How many of y'all in the military? Okay, all these people in the military, you know what they tell you? When they take an order, and I've never been in the military, so I'm only going by what I hear. But what I hear is when you get an order from someone above you, you don't sit there and argue. Is that right, soldier? Right? You just say, yes, sir. They tell you how to jump. You say, how high, sir, and when do you want me to come down? Cornelius is a soldier. His superior says, go send men to Peter. He'll say, well, God, they don't listen to us. They don't talk to him. No, he said, talk. Called one of his soldiers, two of his servants, and said, go to Peter and go get Peter. Okay? Let's look at Peter. Peter's over here doing his thing. He didn't want to think about no Gentiles. Verse 9, it says, the next day as they went on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop at the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while he was making his food, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending down from by its four corners upon the earth. And in it were all kinds of animals, reptiles, birds of the air. And there came a voice that said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Okay, Cornelius sends his man to go get Peter. Peter is not going to see no Gentile. Meanwhile, Peter's over here and he sees this vision of these animals. These animals that the Old Testament told Peter not to eat. And the voice, God, says, eat. Now, if Peter was a true, obedient soldier, he would say, hum. But here's what he does. Peter says, by no means, Lord. Soldier, go take that hill. By no means, Captain. That ain't going to happen. He says, by no means, Lord. I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Peter, when Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I'm going to die and be crucified, Peter said, no, you're not. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. When Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I'm going to wash your feet, he said, no, you're not. He said, okay, well, then we can't have nothing to do with you. Peter was always, he always knew better than God. The voice, 15, voice came to him again a second time and said, what God has made clean, do not call common or unclean. This happened three times, and then it ended. Peter, verse 17, was perplexed. What did this mean? And then behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius came to the gate and asked for him. Now, a couple things. The Jews were told to eat certain foods and not eat certain foods because God wanted to separate them from the rest of the pagan world. And one of the ways God separated the Jews onto himself was to restrict what they ate. So their diet was a symbol of their separateness from somebody, the other people. And the reason God wanted to separate them is because the pagans worshiped other gods and God was trying to establish a people to himself. So he said, here's the food you're going to eat. Now they're well established who they are. Now God says, you know what? You don't have to have that separation. And one of the ways I'm going to show you that what used to be unclean to you is not unclean is I'm going to tell you to eat everything. And I'm telling you symbolically that was what was unclean, which were even associated with pagans in your mind anyway, you go associate with them. So what he was doing was he was breaking down the wall of division. Here's another thing that's very interesting. Cornelius is praying to God, and the angel says, go send men to Joppa. And as a soldier, he says, yes, sir, and he does it. He has no basis that Peter's going to come because there was a wall dividing the Gentiles and the Jews. But he, by faith, obeys God. Then Peter's over here, and while the men are walking to Peter's house, God is preparing Peter to go answer them. In other words, God is preparing Peter's heart to say yes to the request that he told Cornelius to ask him. Are you following me? Cornelius sends his soldiers thinking Peter's going to come, but there's no basis because Peter didn't deal with me. But God says, I got you, Cornelius. If I tell you to pray for something, I'm going to hook it up on the other end. If God tells you to pray for something and you start saying, well, God, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't have money. I don't have time. I don't have contacts. Shut your mouth. Here's why. God is organized. You don't think God is going to tell you to do something and not take care of you on the other end? Can I get an amen? Amen. Ladies, how many of you want a godly man? I'll say it one more time slow because maybe I caught you off guard. How many, say amen, ladies. Say hey if you want a godly man. If you want a godly man, are you proving that you trust God will bring one by becoming a godly woman? How many of you fellas want a hot babe? Notice how I didn't say a godly woman because they don't care. They just want a hot babe. When God made animals and living things, every living thing, animal, not plants, when he made them to breathe in oxygen. And he didn't, like, 1,000 years later go, oh, snap, where are they going to get oxygen? He says, I mean, think about it. This is like logic. And I know some of y'all believe in evolution, and I like to take jabs at evolution because I think it's a joke. So I always put these little seeds of doubt in your mind to show you how ludicrous it is. Here's one of them. God makes all these animals that breathe in oxygen. And because in everything, in evolution, everything takes billions of years to happen. What if it took a week for oxygen to come about? They would be dead. And they wouldn't have been able to evolve because they'd be dead. And so what God did is he made living things that breathe in oxygen. At the same time, he made plants that would produce oxygen. And then the plants breathe in the CO2 that the living things breathe out. Well, how are they going to live unless the CO2 is coming from the living things? They had to both exist at the same time, and it had to work day one, or there'd be nothing living to evolve. I know you're thinking, well, that sounds too simple. It really is that simple. And when you throw billions and billions, oh, because that's so big, it just happened. Nothing just happens, especially so complicated and so perfect. Matter of fact, two-thirds of the planet is covered by water. Two-thirds of your body is covered by water or is made up of water. No coincidence God is organized like that. There is more land underwater than above water. About twice as much. Two-thirds underwater, one-third above water. There are more oxygen-giving plants underwater than above water. More oxygen comes from the underwater than above water. The clouds you see in the sky, God has fresh water evaporate from the ocean and it is distilled in the sky and rains down fresh water. God is coordinating. You're like, what does that got to do with what we're talking about? Here's what it has everything to do with what we're talking about. If God could coordinate all of that, and that's not even a 1/1,000,000th of a percent of what he has coordinated. You don't think he can coordinate your prayer life? You don't think he can take care of your problems? How am I going to pay my rent? Go get a job. I don't have a job. Go walk the streets and find one. He will hook you up. I got to get a man. You just be godly and trust him. What was Adam doing when he got Eve? Their brother was asleep. Now, I am not at all telling you to sleep and wake up and there's going to be a hot babe standing in your room naked like Adam. I mean, I can't deliver like that. But Adam was doing what God told him to do. You do what God tells you to do, and he will take care of everything else. So he told Cornelius, send for Peter, and Cornelius was like, I trust you. Look what he says next. Look what he says next. In chapter verse 22, they said to Cornelius, a centurion, an upright man, God-fearing, who was well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you say. And so he invited them in to be his guests, and the next day he rose and went with them, and some of his brothers, there's brothers in the Bible too, some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him, and these were Jewish brothers, and on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them. Say expecting. And he had called all his relatives and friends. In other words, Cornelius' faith. He said, soldier, go get Peter. And he told his friends, Peter's coming. Well, they told him he was coming. With what, a cell phone? He had his friends and his family waiting for Peter because he was expecting him because he trusted God. If you trust God, and if you trust God's working you out in the end, you do your job over here. And you let God take care of everything else. My wife said to me one day, we had lived in a house for maybe 8 years at the time. She says, I want to paint the house. I said, the house is already painted. It's been painted since we got it. She says, no, I want to paint it different colors. I said, it's already colored white. I don't want to paint the house. And I am the head of the house. But because my wife is the neck and she can turn me any way she wants me to go, we painted the house. So the painter said, here's your quote for painting the house and here's your quote for moving the furniture because I got to move the furniture. I said, I ain't paying you to move the furniture. I got kids. So my son, where is my son here? Okay, where's he at? Okay. He's like, he don't like to be called. My son. We're moving the furniture. This is a true story, and he's sitting over there in a blue sweater. You could talk to him after. We are moving the furniture, and while we are moving the furniture, my son says, hey, Dad. That's that. My son went through a phase where he talked like a caveman. You know, the weird thing about it is I would understand him. So we're carrying the furniture. Miles, you remember that? Caveman stage? Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, good. Yeah. We're carrying the furniture, and he goes, hey, yeah. I said, what? He says, what if the painter never comes? We move the furniture for nothing. I said, you're trying to get out of doing work. I said, we are moving the furniture by faith, believing that the paint is coming. And he's coming because he's going to get paid. If God told you something or you were praying for something, you need to move the furniture first. Cornelius moved the furniture. He got all his friends and said, he's coming. And look what it says. Verse 24, the following day, Peter entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. And when Peter entered, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshiped. But Peter lifted him up and said, stand up, I too am a man. I am no different than you. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said, you yourselves know that it is how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with you or anybody that's not a Jew. But God has shown me that I shall not call any person common or unclean or less than me. So when I was sent for, I came without objection, and I asked now, why you do you want me? He said, you know what God showed me? It's not a matter of you thinking someone's below you. It's just a matter of you thinking, I don't really talk to those kind of people. And again, they're not below you, above you. They're just not your deal. And my challenge to you is to say, God, who do you want me to talk to? Look at verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. Everyone say no partiality. None. You may have in your head that you are not good enough for God, or that you don't belong here, or you're not like them, and all this stuff that's keeping you away from God. God is saying, none of that's true. I love you all. You would be shocked, surprised at the people of who you think are really good. Don't worry about any of them. Just worry about yourself. You know, I remember when we first got a dishwasher, getting a dishwasher and my wife telling me I had to wash the dish before to put it in. And I remember I just paid X amount of dollars. If I'm washing it, why do I need the dishwasher? I can make my kids wash my, I can get it for free. Well, because the dishwasher can't really handle all the stuff on the plate. So if I'm washing it, two more wipes and it's good. Can I get an amen? The reason you got to do that is because the dishwasher can't handle all the chunks of food that you left on your plate. It'll get clogged up. A lot of times we think God's like a dishwasher. We got to fix ourselves first. You can't fix yourself first. God wants all your junk. He wants all your junk. So look what it says. Verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God has shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You fear God, he will accept you. Look at verse 30. Let's keep reading. 36. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus. Everyone say, Jesus. Of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Verse 40. God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God, as witnesses who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Jesus is going to judge the living and the dead. Nobody else. Verse 43. To him, all the prophets, Old Testament, bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Everybody who believes in him will receive forgiveness. I don't know if I've ever seen this in the Bible before, but what happens in the next verse is that while Peter is talking, saying, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? While he's saying that, the Holy Spirit, whoom, look what it says. It says, while Peter was saying these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who came with Peter, the Jews, were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. God said, Peter, you said enough. I'm ready to forgive some people. While Peter was explaining this, back up. Cornelius by faith says, go get Peter. Peter's like, I ain't going to no Gentiles. I ain't going to Gentiles. Oh, you want me to go to Gentiles? He comes in and he says, well, you want me to preach the gospel? Okay, well, let's see what happens. We never did this before. And boom. And all the Jews now said, wait a minute. The non-Jews now have Jesus. Oh. Couple things. All y'all who are Christian, my challenge to you is that you would be available to talk to whoever about God that God wants you to. Whoever. Not assuming you know anything about them. If you go to the airport, I go to the airports all the time and I talk to all the bag handlers, I talk to the people at the rent-a-car place, I talk to everybody. And if they're foreigners, man, I'm going right up to them, hey, where you from? I am from Nigeria. How many languages do you speak? This is a question you need to ask people who are from other countries. Great conversation starter. How many languages do you speak? Oh, and I get this all the time. I speak 5 languages, working on number 6. This is no joke. I'm working on English. I'm learning Spanish, and I think that when I figure out Spanish, my grammar in Spanish is going to be better than my grammar in English. I speak 5 languages. I work on 6. I said, what do you do? I said, well, I work here in daytime. I work at this flower shop at night. I'm going to medical school. I'm going to be a doctor. This is true. And you may walk by him, give him that $2, take your bag, and think nothing of it because, oh, that's just a bag handler. When in actuality, they're a fascinating human being that God would love to have a relationship with, and he could use you. We had fires here. When we moved into this building in 2007, we had fires in San Diego. 500,000 people were evacuated from their homes. We had 300-and-something people stay here at this building. We were only 2 months into the building. And of those 300-something people, 122 were elderly people from a convalescent home here in town, and they were staying at the gym at San Diego High School. We said, please come here. We got air conditioning. We'll take care of you. They came here on buses, and they were between 70-something and 90-something. They came out with their canes, their oxygen tanks, and they were scared. Of course, they don't know if their place is going to be burned down, everything they own, and they're elderly. Some of them had no family. It was a blessing to have them here. And someone said, Pastor, we got 122 elderly people. They're in the library, and they were scared. They don't know where they're at, where they're going to sleep, all those kind of things. And we went in there, and, how y'all doing? Can you imagine the stories of those people that they had about life? One of them, they were from 70-something to 90-something. I said, how can we help you? What can we give you? One guy said, I want to watch the World Series, because the World Series was happening. We got Cox Cable to give us cable, and he watched the World Series in here. Here, what do you got, a 50-inch? Brother, we got a 20-foot-inch. And he had like 10 people watched. I wasn't here. It's like they watched the World Series. We had this thing blasted. So they were here like 2 days, and they were sitting right here one day. And I said, what do y'all do at your convalescent home for fun?
We play shuffleboard.
I said, who's your baddest shuffleboard player? I'm not lying. This is a conversation we just had right here. This lady stood up. She said, they were all pointing to this lady. She was all shy. I'm the shuffleboard player. I said, I'm going to come when this is all over. I'm coming to your home, and I'm going to beat you. No, you're not. No, you're not. So I went. We hooked it up. I went and had cameras. She had all her homegirls there with canes. They were going to knock my knees off if I won. It was hilarious. And I was talking smack left and right. I never played shuffleboard. I said, I never played shuffleboard. I'm going to whoop you so bad in front of your girls and all these people. And she's like, and literally they were like, she's going to get you. She's going to get you. She's really good. She's really good. I said, I'm going to whoop this old lady right here, right in front of y'all. And we split the first two. I don't remember who won the first one, who won the second one. And it came down to the last two shuffles. And I don't know the rules, so they would tell me if I hit one good, oh, you can't do that. I'm like, you're cheating. You're trying to take advantage of me. And she's like, oh, I'm so nervous. I said, you better be. We're filming this, and everyone's going to know you lost. I beat her on the last shuffle. I'm sorry. You're thinking, what's the point? Here's the point. There are so many wonderful experiences you can have with just about every person if you're available. My family will tell you, we go out, we can't walk through the mall, we can't go to a store. Not only because I see people, but it's a conversation. Now, that's because I talk a lot. That's part of the problem. But people have fascinating stories, and especially people you don't know. You ever meet a gang member? Then you should never talk about what you don't know about. You ever go to prison and meet an inmate? You should never talk about what you don't know about. You go to prison and meet some people, you'll be amazed at how just like you they are. Just like you. You'd be amazed at how some of the people you meet in prison are nicer than people you know. Because when you do that, then you don't judge them like you do. And when God says to go love them, you go, I got it. Like elderly people, like this whole elderly situation. Of course, I know a lot of elderly people, but I know a lot of elderly people. A lot of know young people, black, Hispanic, blah, 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 blah. And when you have these experiences or you're open, then God could say, you could be in IHOP, and you're sitting in IHOP, and somebody's two tables over that has nothing in common with you. And God says, look, they're having a hard day. Can you go over there and encourage them? You go, I can. I can. You may be one of them brothers. When I say brothers, I don't mean black. Just one of a guy sagging pants. And by the way, not only black guys sag pants, so you're sagging your pants. And then you see some older white guy in a suit who has nothing in common with you. And God says, go share with him, which is kind of backwards. Go do it. He's going to be like, I'm getting robbed. That's his problem. Say, nah, brother, I ain't robbing you. That's why when I go up to cops, I go to cops all the time and say thank you. I always show my hands. I don't walk up to cops like this. Or, you know, like this. No. You walk up to cops like this. How you doing? Show your hands. And you say, look, you go up to guy, and when these kids go, hey, can I talk about Jesus? For whatever reason, God brings you to that. Be available. There's some of you in here, you're like Cornelius. You've been trying to get to God. In a minute, you're going to have an opportunity to receive God. But you want God. You really do. And you know you need God. God wants you, and he don't need you to do anything. I'll just tell you this one last thing, then we're going to pray. In our culture, you will hear people say, I was born this way, or this is the way I am, and I don't need to change for anybody. When you come to God, you will change, and you do need to change, and you need to come to God willing to let him change everything. But if you come to God with preconditions, there's no relationship, there's no deal. And you may be convinced to have proved yourself, this is how I was made. I was born this way. No. When you come to God, you let him do what he wants to do in your life. But if you come to God and say, these are the things I'm not letting go of, there is no relationship. It's like getting married, and the night you get married, after you do the ceremony, you tell your wife, or you ask your wife, or you ask your husband, how many times can I cheat on you before you divorce me? That person was never married. They just went through a ceremony. So when you come to God, you got to come to God and say, God, everything's on the table. Everything's on the table. So let's pray. Do you guys know the term everything's on the table? It means that your whole life is there for God to change. It's on the table. So it's optional, negotiable. That's what that means. Let's pray.
We already knew that. We don't have to explain that to us.
Dear Lord God, we thank you for putting this story in the Bible. Thank you that you had it happen, and thank you that you put it in the Bible to show us that you show no partiality. I pray, number one, that people here who know you would be open and look for opportunities that you would use them with whomever. That every person that walks by is an opportunity. But I pray for the people who may be like Cornelius, seeking for God. And that they would realize they can find him right now. If you're like Cornelius and you're praying to God and you want to receive his forgiveness in the name of Jesus, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and you want to be once and all forgiven, I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I know you love me, and I know you know who I am. I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please come live in my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born all over again. I want to be born of the Spirit of God. Thank you, God. If you're saying today, Lord, I want to be like Cornelius. I've been seeking you, and I want to seek you by faith, trusting you're going to answer my prayer. And Lord, I receive your forgiveness now. If you prayed that prayer and that's what you want, eyes closed, heads bowed, I want you to stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. Stand to your feet and acknowledge. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.